Welcome to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. This little 80s throwback here by the Webster over there spinning the tunes.
Power station there.
How many times you been on this show?
A bunch, right? And normally 80s, which is good. So got a full house today. Got Jason Hildebrand. Arnold Tarpley is back and better than ever. Or I guess we could just say he's back.
Yeah, don't say better than ever yet. Just back.
We're not sure if he's better than ever yet. And then Scott Webb, the man, the myth, the legend. Everybody's heard about him. You hear his music every Wednesday night from 5 to 6. And his brilliant NASCAR prognostication. I worked on that word all the way up here.
Did you?
Yeah,
Whose prognostication?
Yours, NASCAR's.
Oh.
Did I use it in the right tone?
Well, hey, listen, I thought that meant that, I predict things well, but,
either way, I mean.
Whatever. My knowledge, expert, and I use air quotes.
Whatever
Web
you want to use.
Web
Adamus, yeah.
Oh, wow. So we
you
had a big
You should see
week.
My fantasy picks from last week. It didn't look very Web Adamus then.
it was a crapshoot anyways.
It was definitely a crapshoot and a rain shoot. So it was a little wild, but first of all, I'd say it is good to have Arnold back. Arnold did have a little bit of an issue a couple weeks ago, but he's now back. And I've said this, Junior gets knocked out, gets his bell rung like anybody would do on a Friday night, right? And he's out for like 5 weeks. Arnold has a big-time issue, and the man's back in here 2 weeks ready to go, and he didn't even have to have a press conference to say he was coming.
I just show up.
He just shows up. That's all it is. And he's actually in shorts, too. So, he hadn't
he's
been working.
Keeping it real, a little slower pace to him. But that brain still works. His NASCAR knowledge.
Exactly.
The NASCAR historian is back.
The old man, right? Isn't that what we call
him?
Well,
I don't know if he was listening last week.
He's probably sleeping. All right, let's get to Bristol Motor Speedway. Listen, a lot of drama this weekend. I mean, I went up there and, got there Friday. What a Xfinity Series race. Probably one of the best that I've seen. Kind of racing all the way through. And then there at the end with a little bit of dirty racing, I guess, is what Kyle Busch called Keselowski's way of driving around the track. But you had, a winner that you hadn't seen in a long time in Austin Dillon, somebody I think that really needed a win to keep his momentum going. And that carried through to Sunday where he had a good run. But I believe that was because of kind of the Talladega mentality there where everybody goes out and whoever's left.
Yeah, that works at Bristol just like a Talladega.
Yeah, well, it definitely did. But first, let's talk about the track. They put the rosin on the bottom, or whatever that word is. All right, they put that on the bottom of the track. Seemed like it worked pretty good Wednesday night. We heard some comments on Twitter and some comments texting back and forth that it was working well. We didn't know when we were up there that they were going to put it on again Friday night, but it seemed like the bottom worked for a while on Friday night, and then everybody kind of went to the top.
Well, that was, it's eventually, once that the top groove gets rubbered in, it's been the traditional since they've redid the track, the traditionally fast way around the track. What they were hoping to have is to create some options. And it did. You had early in runs, you had to be able to have the faster cars were able to run at the bottom. And then as the run progressed, you seen them slowly move up the track, just like they do just about anywhere else, looking for some grip to try to, as you get a lot of rubber and stuff built up, it can kind of get slick. So they're looking for some ways to, find the grip and move them to the front. And, I thought everything they did, I would have liked to have seen the NASCARs. The main guys, the Sprint Cup guys, without all the moisture and washing the track down, with the amount of rain they had, I think they had over 2 inches of rain up there this weekend. But overall, I thought that the changes that that Jerry Campbell, who talked about last week right here on this show, were very successful.
And Jerry Campbell did make a few good comments, but Jerry Caldwell actually
well, that would be correct, more. Yeah. Hey, listen.
He did pretty well. He prognosticated is what he did.
That's he prognosticated that it was going to be a good night or a good week.
But, one thing I can tip my hat to Bristol for trying to do something different, guys. I mean, they're trying to bring back some really good racing up there. We've seen it kind of the great racing at Bristol diminish in the past, but they're trying and willing to do some different things up there and try to get that old Bristol back.
And I thought they really did a very good job with it because I saw some bumping runs. I saw cars being able to go up top or go down below, work their way around other traffic. some good passing going on in there. So overall, I think that you've got to count as a success of what they did, although they probably would have liked to have had it a little bit more.
I would have liked to have seen it as the race went on if it would have continued to go Saturday night. There's something about the grip that you get when it gets darker and stuff like that. Kyle Busch had mentioned on the radio that there was a lot more grip on the bottom in 1 and 2 and less in 3 and 4. So I think, you know, as the night went on, who knows how that would have worked. But as Arnold said, one of the things you did see that was different, normally you had to dive bomb somebody into turn 3 and then slide up in front of them, you know, up towards the wall in order to pass them. This time you were able to kind of run down on the bottom and still get a good run off the bottom of the track coming out of 4.
Yeah, and it looked a whole lot more like the old Bristol that everybody wanted to see, is that you had the options. And, hey, there's some nice bumping runs involved out there. There's some instances in there I said, oh, wow, that is old school.
Yeah, there were several wrecks toward the end Sunday night. That was good. But with us, and we had, you know, you talk about Bristol and you talk about some of the cars that always have good runs up there, and that didn't really change any. You had Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, just to name a few that were up there. Kyle Larson even had a good run, and you put Kyle Larson in
place. He's had good runs
place.
There the last few times he's been there.
Yeah, and so it's weird. And I think the thing that made the big difference was the wrecks that happened later on in the race. It took a lot of good cars out. Scott, I can't imagine driving a car with a broken whatever Kyle Busch had. And said that it was broken, couldn't figure out. He said he knew what it was, but he was just driving it. And they said, I can't believe you're driving that. And he goes, because I'm beepity beep Kyle Busch. So that was kind of his comment. Yeah, but and then get off the track. But this is a product of kind of the racing that happened. He's got nothing to lose. So why get off and get it fixed?
But then Allgaier gets the blame.
Yeah, I know. That was kind of
what was that all about?
He had a bad weekend.
I don't understand that. Allgaier just happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and gets the blame for it all.
Well, but that's
typical.
That's typical Kyle
if he doesn't win.
If he doesn't win, it's kind of that it's always somebody else's fault. That's why I didn't win this week. I'm not going to talk to you after I – at least he was, at least he had enough guts to talk to the media. You know, he had you could tell he was frustrated. He had a frustrating weekend. You know, Saturday he's probably got the best car, tries to slide up in front. Now, he blamed Brad Keselowski in the Xfinity race. But, you know, he was trying to slide in front of him. And what's Keselowski supposed to do? Let off the gas?
Let him have the position.
Let him have the position?
Go ahead
and
take it. I'm not going to try
again. If you're not far enough in front of me to slide up in front of me, then, don't do it. And, so he blamed, Brad Keselowski for that, and so I think that was just the kind of the final, final straw for Kyle this weekend. Now he had fast cars in both races, but sometimes it's not only about being fast, it's about finishing races.
Yeah, it's not what a typical Kyle Busch weekend at Bristol. We've seen him go up there, dominate truck race, then dominate Xfinity Series race, then dominate Sprint Cup races. So it's wasn't a typical weekend for him in the 18.
It was kind of different to see him act like that. And again, Friday night, I was at a perfect view of what happened there. And, he did the wrong thing. And that's the thing. I think it's just him and Keselowski have had some issues in the past. And being the spoiled brat maybe kind of come out in him. So it was
Are they both, though? I think you have the same. I think you kind of get the same.
Yeah, those,
the two same kind of
personalities. Those are kind of peas in the same pot, aren't they?
I think Brad less, though, than Kyle now. Because Brad seems to have matured some as far as the way he acts.
It'll
stuff
come
like
back
that.
Around. It'll come back around. Trust me.
Let Brad wreck out of 2 races in a row.
Yeah,
and
we
see
said
what
Kyle
happens.
Had matured too, so you saw that revert back to the old Kyle there. So I'm waiting for the old Brad to come out in him.
It should be interesting when it happens. Hopefully, it happens at like Martinsville, and maybe he's mad at
his teammate Logano.
Yeah, wrecks him into the wall. So it would be good. But all in all, I think you said, Scott, they had 2 inches up there. I think I wrung that out of my shirt as I was walking.
I was
going to
say, those
car.
Are just the 2 inches that was in Jamie's shoe.
Exactly.
Because
it was wet. One thing I didn't understand, and I need to talk to Jerry about this, is they had a lightning delay right as soon as the race was supposed to start. And they take everybody out and put us under the bleachers. All right. So thinking about that, and I would, the person I was with, I was sitting there and I was telling him, I was like, I don't know how smart it is to be standing underneath a bunch of metal bleachers.
You're no better off.
You know? So it's like stick to half one dozen the other. Which one you want to pick? You know, stand outside and hold your hands up and say, hit me, or go down there and hopefully, you know, not everybody dies when the lightning strikes.
It's not the greatest, you know, it would fail some safety inspections.
Yeah.
I think that kind of comes from OSHA with their mentality.
Yeah. So it was rather unique, but it definitely was. Seemed like there was a lot more people up there this past weekend than in previous Bristol races, which was good to see. Even on the Xfinity night, on Friday night, it seemed like there were a lot more people.
That was probably the most disappointing thing, because at the start of the race Saturday night, place on TV looked pretty full.
Oh, yeah.
It would be.
And if we continue to see racing like we saw on Friday night and again on Sunday, the people will come back to that, especially the night race.
The one other thing I noticed up there was more three-wide racing up there that was happening that they hadn't been able to seem to do before.
Well, that has to do with options. It has to do with being able to run. Now, three-wide is not the smartest thing to do at a track that has about two lanes worth of driving. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you were able to pass cars, and you were able to pass cars on the bottom. You didn't just have to play follow the leader and watch them make a mistake. And sometimes that caused for some three-wide racing, which I thought was spectacular, especially Friday night. I saw some gutsy plays on Friday night in that Xfinity race.
Oh, yeah, there really was.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And it was rather... that was probably the most interested I've been in an Xfinity race in a while, so it was really good there. All right, so we had a winner, believe it or not. Kyle Busch did set a record on Saturday night. He led that race for 17 hours, which I didn't know it was the 24 hours of Bristol, but he did lead the race for 17 hours because he was leading when it was called, and then leading when it started back up. But Carl Edwards. Kevin Harvick got the win.
He didn't have a good week either.
I know. On Sunday night. One of the things I think about Kevin Harvick is the fact that this is only his second race he's won, but it seems like he's been in contention or talked about. It's just hard to believe you would think he would have more wins than that.
It's like last year. You know, we talked about him every week. Every Monday was a blooming Monday. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah. Didn't have the wins to back it up, and we saw that when the chase. It wasn't really dominant like he was the previous year.
You look at it like this. He's only won two races, but he's been top 10 five times and 18 top 10s.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be strong.
Yeah, he has been really strong. So, and it just sets up for, you know, back in the day when it was the Winston Cup Series and they had the point system the way it was, he'd be number one right now pulling off. So. Yeah. I think that's a key. So he gets his second win of the year at Bristol Motor Speedway on Sunday, which was rather unique. Let's hear from Kevin Harvick on his victory at Bristol.
Kevin, talk to me about that moment with your friend, your boss, your teammate, Tony Stewart, there doing that lap and doing victory burnouts together.
Yeah, I wanted him to go on a victory lap with me and say goodbye to all the fans one last time here at Bristol, but that was pretty cool, doing burnouts with him. Got to thank Busch Beer, Jimmy John's, Chevrolet, Mobile One, Ditech, Outback, Hunt Brothers, Martin Billings, Bad Boy, everybody at Stewart Haas Racing on the Chevrolet. We should have won a lot of races this year, and we just had things not go our way, made mistakes, or whatever the case may be, but to get back in victory lane here at Bristol feels really good. We've had some good cars here over the last few years. And to have Busch Beer on the car, we've had some crap luck with these guys on the car. Just really happy for Busch and Jimmy Johns, and really for all these guys on the 4-team.
You mentioned you should have won more races in this time. Your last win was at Phoenix back in the spring. Does this give you the momentum going into the chase you need?
Well, we knew we had the performance that we needed to have in the cars pretty much every week. And it's been one of those deals where, you know, just things have not gone exactly right. But, you know, to have the win now and try to get that momentum before we get into the chase and get things rolling is really what we needed.
Kevin Harvick is your winner at Bristol. Mike?
Big win for Kevin Harvick. And for those of you who didn't see, did get Tony Stewart to do a victory kind of burnout celebration there at the end. So was rather cool to see that happen. I think he wanted to get him in the car and take him like Jimmy Johnson did with Rick Hendrick one time, but Tony had nothing to do with it. He's like, where am I going to leave my car? I can't leave my car out on the front stretch. So it was cool. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about Dale Earnhardt Jr. Have some click on breaking news here on Twitter. Maybe not breaking news, but at least they're talking about it. He's supposed to make an announcement today on when he's coming back?
Well, he's signing autographs at the Bass Pro Shops in Concord, North Carolina right now, so I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen, maybe. We don't know. We'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, special guest Alex Hayden from MRN Radio. Go to Twitter right now and go to @TheFinishLineRadio. Put in your question you'd like for us to ask Alex Hayden. Again, that's @TheFinishLineRadio. Put your question on there, and we will ask Alex Hayden when he comes on around 5:30.
Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
There you go.
Either way. All right, you're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money, and if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now, 805-9100. I received a call that I won't forget. The guy is a Chattanooga police officer who served our great country in the Air Force. A true American hero. Our hero is renting, which costs too much for a space too small. We helped him achieve the American dream. And the best part is this. He purchased a $180,000 home with zero down. His payment is $200 less than what his rent was. And now he has a safe place with more space to raise his family. It's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and one phone call.
805-9100. Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped an operations manager retire faster, saving his family $400 per month. Let this story be your story. 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3. The Buzz, Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb. Continuing with tradition on The Finish Line with the 80s. Throwback 80s on a Wednesday. All right, so we thought we might have news for Dale Earnhardt Jr. this weekend, but seems as if they're not ready to announce that yet. So kind of a crazy, you know, deal when it comes down to this. You got the most popular driver in NASCAR. You know, the really cool thing is he announced he was on Twitter. He was going to have an autograph session at some place. It wasn't Bass Pro Shops, but it was somewhere the other day and had a bunch of people show up. You wonder if he's going to get back in the car. I'll be interested to ask Alex this when he comes on at 5:30 to find out. But it seems like now they're taking their time. And really, Jason, what do they have to lose? I mean, he doesn't really need to be in it if he doesn't have to be.
No, not at this point. I mean, you know, you're so far out of things. And focus on your health. Just get healthy and try to make a run at it like next year if that's still what's in your blood, if that's what you want to do. And from all indications from what he's saying earlier in the initial press conference, that's what he's going to do. But, I mean, I don't see what the rush is.
Yeah, and it's just, I guess, something to talk about when there's nothing really going on in NASCAR through the week, so it's one of those deals. There was an announcement made this week by JRM that Elliott Sadler will be staying with him for the next 2 years with OneMain Financial staying on, reversing course, and staying on board. They had originally planned on getting away.
Yeah, they just announced that, what, about a month ago?
Yeah.
That they were leaving the Xfinity Series sponsorship on the team?
And then I think they got purchased was one of the things, and they had to meet with the new ownership. So what better way to try to swoop them back and then bring them to the racetrack and put them on your pit box, right?
That might work.
Yeah. That can't hurt.
So been an interesting time, and this will be the first time that Kelly Earnhardt Miller was mentioning, the first time in a long time that they've been able to say that they've got three cars definitely next year, fully sponsored and everything else, and not having to worry about it. She said, I didn't know this, but she said the Chase Elliott deal come together 2 months before the season started when he won his championship.
It was light.
Yeah, so really neat there. All right, news and notes, that pretty much wraps it up. There was a couple of teams that that had some warnings from NASCAR from Bristol.
Kyle Busch.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin was one of them. Martin Truex, he failed inspection, pre-race inspection a couple times. You're seeing that more and more now, and I don't know, you know, used to the post-race is what gets you the penalty, but now they're announcing the pre-race inspections.
Yeah, they're looking at them pretty hard, I think, going through that laser thing, and you'd think that the teams would figure out this
can't
is going
to
work.
The system. You're not going to be able to cheat that system.
No, unless you can fix it during the race.
Yeah.
You know, do something and then fix it and then, you know, pass
fix it back.
Race.
Yeah, tear it up during burnouts.
That's it. All right, let's real quick do the green flag, black flag for this week. Before we get Alex Hayden on the phone, my green flag for Bristol is Bristol. I thought they did a really good job on the track. They even Friday night went back and put more down to apply that to get it done. So I thought that was that. Black flag for me would be Kyle Busch and his rants and running his mouth because he didn't do so well. So green flag Bristol, black flag KB.
Green flag, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. You know, that team for the past few years at Roush has not been able to get anything done out on the track. This is one of the most competitive we've seen runs out of those guys that we've seen in the past few years. Black flag. I try to do the right thing, go to the doctor, make sure I'm okay, and I don't know who the yahoo is that gave me Jeffrey Earnhardt last week to win Bristol, but that's the black flag.
Whoever that yahoo was.
Oh, I give you three guesses on that one.
There was some consultation, though. I mean, it's not like I was the only one.
I looked at 32. I was like, who in the world's 32?
Well, we figured we'd give you an Earnhardt that was doing something.
Yeah.
At least in a race.
When you don't know who the driver is, when you see the number, that can't be a good sign.
Exactly. I was like, who in the world is 32? I was like, 34th Buescher. Who's 32? Jeffrey Earnhardt. Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, play.
Green flag, the Xfinity race finished. The last 30 laps of that race, that was good.
Absolutely.
Black flag.
Your heart doctor.
Kyle Busch complaining about Keselowski racing dirty.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Scott Webb.
I'm going to go with dual green flags. I'm going to go with Chris Buescher, doing what he had to do, top five finish. I mean, what a great couple weeks that team has had. You know, they've survived Watkins Glen and then put together, you know, a team that's been consistently running better and better. My second green flag goes to Austin Dillon for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
He got engaged over the week, over the off week, and then he wins an exciting Xfinity race. So I'll give it to my dual green flags this week. My black flag, carnage. How many good cars did we see on Sunday wreck out of the race that were really had a chance to win the race? You know, Kevin Harvick was a good car, but they were probably, you could probably name three or four cars right off the top of your head that you know were had a legitimate shot. And so I'll go black flag on the carnage. Not all that typical, I guess. Ed, we see a lot of beating and banging. We don't see that many big name cars wreck out of it, but that's what happened Sunday.
All right, so that was your green flag, black flag, as I dropped my phone. A couple things. One, Dale's Heating and Air is a sponsor on the show. He is helping us out and doing a great job at the house. That little skunk issue that got into the air condition. So getting that fixed up, and we'll get that done.
That's what you want to announce on local
radio. Yeah, I know.
Radio,
that's one of those things. Hey, skunks are skunks, right? He said he's the guy that I've got coming out, John Burns, to get the skunk. Says he's caught 200 and something skunks or whatever over the summer. So evidently it's not just my house. And then two, we got three new listeners We've got Mariella at Regions Bank. And Matt at Regions Bank and Fernando at Regions Bank. We got three Regions Bank people.
Are those like subordinates underneath you?
they may work with me. So that's the thing.
Listen to my show or else.
They're not that. So I don't have anybody underneath me anymore. It's kind of fun. So it is good. All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Alex Hayden. Actually, going to call him right now. Get him on the phone. If you have a question for Alex Hayden at the Finish Line Radio. And tweet us your question.
You
just say it. You're the social media guy.
Well,
it's
Finish Line Radio.
So why can't I say at the Finish Line Radio?
You can say at. Don't put the "the" in there, though.
At Finish Line Radio.
I couldn't put "the" in there. There was too many characters.
I'm just looking on Twitter right now, and it says at the Finish Line.
It says at Finish Line Radio. Thanks.
Here we go. Whatever. All right, so we'll be back in a second. You're listening to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money. And if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now. 805-9100. I received a call that I won't forget. The guy is a Chattanooga police officer who served our great country in the Air Force. A true American hero. Our hero is renting, which costs too much for a space too small. We helped him achieve the American dream. And the best part is this. He purchased a $180,000 home with zero down. His payment is $200 less than what his rent was. And now he has a safe place with more space to raise his family. It's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and one phone call.
805-9100. Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped an operations manager retire faster, saving his family $400 per month. Let this story be your story. 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley, Scott Webb. Just had some breaking news. You know, when it comes to NASCAR, you get the breaking news on the Finish Line. I mean, everything comes out on Wednesday, which is great. And even Alex Hayden, you know, I'm going to say he already knew this probably on Monday. But Alex, are you with us?
Yes.
Very good. All right, so I just we're on Twitter now, and it just broke that Dale Jr. is going to miss the next two races with Alex Bowman and Jeff Gordon filling in. Does that put him back at, I guess that would put him back at Richmond, right?
Well, we hope. We hope Dale Jr. will be back at Richmond. And again, it's all contingent on his health and his progress and where he's at here in another couple of weeks. He made it very clear when he spoke to the media a couple of times, and I talked to him one-on-one at Watkins Glen a couple of weeks ago. There's no real time frame. It's just it's week by week, and they got to make sure that he's well, and there's no actual say, okay, he's out, he's on the shelf for two more weeks. We'll wait and see. Jeff Gordon's on vacation this week. There's no way his wife Ingrid was going to let him out of this vacation. So, he's gone for the week. So, yeah, Alex Bowman gets the tab again. Bowman will be back in the car.
Should be interesting. And this is probably the first time, Alex, that I think I've seen a report out of Hendrick Motorsports where they've said the next two races or put a number on it. And most of the time they said, you know, Alex Hayden, well, you won't be driving, but Alex Bowman will be filling in.
I got a helmet.
Alex Bowman will be filling in or whatever, and then they named Jeff Gordon. So it seems to me maybe that they've got something coming up. I just couldn't see him coming back at Michigan, being that being one of the places that he first experienced this year, you know, the concussion-like symptoms and stuff like that. I could see Richmond being a shorter track, and then you've, of course, got Talladega looming in the chase.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, I really, the longer this goes on, and the more Dale Jr., if anybody's paid attention to his social media, he's put out there some of the things that he's doing, his therapy, and it's some difficult stuff. And as difficult as that is, and I've talked to some doctors in my local area, just say, hey, look, here's what he's putting out there, and here's what his doctors are making him do. And to the doctors I've talked to around here, they're saying, you know, with this severity of exercises, he's going through some pretty hard symptoms. So, you know, the more this goes on, the more I'm wondering if Dale Jr. just may go ahead and sit out the rest of this season just to make sure his health is where it needs to be and he's actually 100% come Daytona in February as opposed to coming back too soon. You know, but nobody ever knows. We just don't know until Dale Jr. knows that he's 100%.
Alex, Kevin Harvick wins at Bristol last week, and this year, to me at least, looks very similar to what we saw last year at Kevin Harvick. And a win or two early in the year, the car that has probably, you know, been one of the better cars for most of the year, but not a lot of wins. Was this week maybe a turning point? Maybe he's the biggest threat to the Toyotas when it comes to chase time?
You know, I think he is. I really do. And Kevin Harvick, and we see this in all sports, not just in racing, but Kevin Harvick stood up a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, look, my pit crew's not getting it done. We're making too many mistakes, and we've got fast race cars. We have speed. That's not a problem, but either me as a driver, I'm making mistakes behind the wheel of the car, or perhaps the pit crew is giving up four or five positions on pit road every time. We're making, as a team, too many mistakes. So he called out his team, himself included, and said, we got to correct that. We've got to minimize our mistakes and get better. I think the team as a whole took that as opposed to being, hey, he's hurting my feelings and calling me out. They took that as, okay, yeah, you know what? He's right. Let's, as a team, pull together. We know we can win a championship. We've done it before. We know we can win races, and they have all pulled together. I think coming out and winning that race, and not just winning it, but leading 71 or so laps and on his way to the win, showed me that this team is focused and they're getting back to championship-type form. And certainly this is the right time of season to be peaking. So I think they are a legitimate threat to the Joe Gibbs Toyota juggernaut right now.
Hey, Alex, you know, we've seen Roush Fenway not perform so well over the past few years. Saw a second-place finish from Ricky Stenhouse Jr. This past weekend at Bristol. Do you see that as a one-week deal, or is that a kind of a stepping stone for those guys to be performing better on the track? What do you see out of Roush Fenway at this point?
I see a slow progression of getting better. They're trending in the right way, because if you look at results, not just with Stenhouse this past weekend, but Greg Biffle's been getting some results. They've had some speed. He's qualified well. Trevor Bayne has been making some noise and qualifying and racing and getting good finishes here as of late. Bayne's one of those drivers, along with Stenhouse, who's kind of right on that outside edge of making it into the chase. Both Roush Fenway Racing cars. And then throw in Chris Buescher, who's the only Roush Fenway driver to win, no matter how he did it. He's still a winner. And he's getting Roush Fenway equipment now after his win instead of the front row cars, because he's still under contract at Roush Fenway as a driver. He's getting full support from Ford and Roush Fenway Racing as far as cars and whatnot go. And you saw Chris Buescher put up a good result, top five finish at Bristol in an RFR car. So I don't think it's a fluke whatsoever. I think they're turning the corner and going in the right direction. But I think it shows two things, too. It shows, number one, how hard and how competitive Sprint Cup Series racing is. You can't just turn a switch and be good overnight. And with that being said, I think the other thing is it showed me just how far behind Roush Fenway Racing got over the last couple of seasons. They've been just out to lunch bad. So they've made gains. They made small gains, but it's like building a snowman. You can't build a snowman until you have a snowflake. You can't have a snowball until you get more than one snowflake. So it's a building process, and I think they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, and trending in the right direction, it makes me think about the fact that we've got four cars that are getting ready to join the Ford program next year with Stuart Haas Racing. And to me, you know, when that announcement was first made, it made me think, well, they're not doing really good now. I mean, you know, Logano and Keselowski, you know, are there, but they haven't been as good as they were last year or maybe the year before. Ford seems like they've got to do a lot of work. And is there any kind of, ways that they're going to do things? What's the Stuart Haas going to add to the program in order to be able to help improve? Because it seems like working with Roush now, they've not been able to get the job done.
Well, and you're right. There's no sugarcoating that. I mean, Roush Fenway Racing and Jack Roush has been a Ford team since the get-go. So there's an allegiance there, and good for Ford for sticking to them. But when you look at the Team Penske Fords, they do their own deal. They build their own chassis, all of them, Penske as well as Roush Fenway and next year Stuart Haas. They all will share the same engines. They get them from Roush Yates engines. Doug Yates and his guys do a great job there. So it's not the power plants, but they build the cars just a little bit differently. They have the weight balance set up differently. They have the weld points and the build points on the cars a little different at Team Penske than they do Roush Fenway. So you've seen that. And Keselowski, he's won, what, four races this year. That's a strong part of the season. And if you look at last year, Joey Logano making it to the final race at Homestead with a chance to win a championship, Logano, to this point in the year, last year only had a couple of wins. So he's essentially where he's been at. And, oh, by the way, we're going back to Michigan this week where he won this race last year. So I think Logano is going to win a couple of more before the end of the year. Chris Buescher is going to be, and as of right now, is the only other Ford that's Chase eligible at the moment. And you got to stop and look at that and go, wow, okay, you kind of forget about that. The Ford Motor Company made it very clear after Buescher got the win at Pocono, they made it very clear that we are going to throw our full 100% support behind the 34 car. We want another Ford in the chase. So they're getting the best of everything over on the 34 car at Front Row Motorsports right now to try to maintain and continue to build their way inside the top 30 in points. Are they a realistic threat to win the championship? No, they're not. But I got to tell you, there's a lot of race teams that would give anything in the world to be in the position they're in.
Well, to piggyback on that, you know, you saw Chris Buescher with a strong top five finish this past week. We're going to Michigan, where obviously Roger Penske had in my homeland, about 30 minutes from where I grow up. So it's like going home week for me. But is Penske the biggest threat to the Toyotas at Michigan?
Well, you would say yes, but when you look at this low downforce package that we're running again at Michigan this weekend, the same package we ran here back in June, the highest finishing Toyota at Michigan in June was, what, seventh, somewhere in that area? So the Toyotas really weren't a factor for the win back when we were in Michigan back in June. So I don't necessarily think that the Joe Gibbs Toyotas or even the Furniture Row Toyotas or Truex, yeah, they're fast. Yeah, they got speed, but I don't know where they're at with this low downforce package because they really didn't have much of a threat at Michigan before, and that's all we can go off of right now. They may have done their homework and found some things coming back for this weekend, but we won't know until we get on the track Friday. As of right now, I think certainly both the Penske cars are the guys to beat this weekend regardless of who they're racing against. But I think also that the Hendrick guys, as bad as they've been, and we say that kind of with a squinted eyebrow because it's hard to say Hendrick Motorsports is bad, But they are. They're a little bit behind right now. I see this as an opportunity for Jimmy Johnson to step back up and kind of get his name thrown in the headlines again.
Yeah, we'll be and it is kind of weird to say that, you know, they're kind of down because
you never thought you'd use the name Jimmy Johnson as almost like a hot take,
right?
as a guy that may bounce up and win a race.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who knew he would be kind of an underdog? When would you ever have suspected that?
That's it, exactly. So I hope you had a good time at Bristol. I know. I think I squeezed about, I was telling them, about 2 inches of water out of my clothes Saturday night. And one thing too, Alex, that I really wondered why they did is when it's lightning, why they moved all, you know, 100,000 people underneath metal bleachers. I'm still trying to figure that one out too. Maybe they wanted us all to go down instead of individually.
Well, when you stop and think about it, and where else are you going to put them? You don't want to be on top of the metal bleachers.
Sure.
I mean, and you don't want to send them out in the parking lot in the mountainside. So I agree with you. It's kind of a head-scratcher, but where else are you going to put them? And you got to do the best you can do.
I was trying
And when there's lightning in the area, you don't mess around with that. And sadly, at Pocono Raceway a couple of years ago, we lost a race fan out in the parking lot, mm-hmm. because of lightning. So you just don't mess around with lightning. And I think it's better to have them underneath something as opposed to being on top of the metal.
I was trying to get everybody to hold hands and grab onto one of the poles. That's what I was trying to do,
yeah.
to make sure.
The world's largest lightning rod. Right?
Yeah. I'd have been the last one at the end of that line.
Yeah, put your tongue on that black hole there. Yeah.
I had my Nikes on though. I mean, I know, and you're the reason I have Nikes. Not really, but you're the reason I have Nikes. So, all right, you going to be up in Michigan this weekend?
I am. Yeah, I'll fly up Thursday morning and look forward to it. It's back in its traditional race date, so the temperature is going to be a little cooler. It's going to be a beautiful weekend in Michigan. The extended weather guessers are saying, yeah, man, it's going to be perfect, no rain in sight. So. That's a good thing, but as we all know, whenever NASCAR shows up,
it rains.
So.
Exactly. Well, have a good trip and a good call up there, Alex. We always appreciate it. And you can find Alex on 101.3 on Sunday with MRN Radio, and I'm sure he will be working it down in the pits, as the pit road will be a lot longer than the one he worked this past weekend, so he'll get some good exercise in those Nike shoes he always supports.
Absolutely. Thank you guys, as always, for having me on.
Thanks,
right.
Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
Appreciate it. That's Alex with MRN Radio, the best pit reporter probably around. When we come back, we'll talk about Michigan, as Alex previewed for us, and then we'll do our power rankings. We'll even give you a chase grid, and then we'll do our picks to win. And it makes me feel good knowing that I picked one of the drivers that Alex thinks is going to take the checkered flag on Sunday up in Michigan. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. I'm in the business of saving people money. And if you want to save money, pick that cell phone up right now, 805-9100. I received a call that I won't forget. The guy is a Chattanooga police officer who served our great country in the Air Force. A true American hero. Our hero is renting, which costs too much for a space too small. We helped him achieve the American dream. And the best part is this. He purchased a $180,000 home with zero down. His payment is $200 less than what his rent was. And now he has a safe place with more space to raise his family. It's easy, and you can do it too. It just takes 10 minutes and one phone call. 805-9100. Turn a house into a home.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun, food, and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped an operations manager retire faster, saving his family $400 per month. Let this story be your story. 805-9100, homeratemortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz.
We just letting it play?
Just letting it play, baby. There it is. You know, as a bass player, you're always waiting for that big hit there.
Dun, 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 dun,
finally
dun, dun,
got there, so it was good. All right, let's jump right into it. I want to say thanks to Alex Hayden with MRN Radio for coming on. Always great to talk to Alex. If you hadn't heard, Dale Earnhardt Jr. out for the next 2 weeks. Alex Bowman will drive for him at Michigan this week. And then Jeff Gordon will drive his throwback car at Darlington the week after that. A couple comments from Alex thinking he probably won't come back. Jason's been saying that for a while. So who knows with a continuing
Yeah, but Jason's not saying – there's some people out there saying he's never coming back,
right.
Period.
I just think he takes the rest of the year off, gets himself
right.
Healthy.
If he can't make the chase, why come back?
Here's my last thing on this, and then we got to get to the chase grid. You know, Arnold's heart, right? So it's going to heal and could get back to full capacity. All right, it's a muscle. All right. When you've got a brain injury like that, it's not like it heals like a hamstring. So even if he gets better to where he can operate normally, one more hit and he's out again. So
and there's different degrees of these things. People are different, you know. I mean, people react different to different kind of injuries.
Yeah. So it's going to be a topic of conversation, I think, for a while. And I guess we'll find out in 2.5 weeks when they come back out and say if he's going to come back. Or the smart thing to do would just be able to set it
this
out.
This segment was brought to you by Dale's Heating and Air. Thanks, Dr. Jamie.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm here for. I did stay in a Holiday Express once, and they need to sponsor us since I just mentioned their name. All right, let's get to the Chase Grid. Brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. www.cplitho.com.
Well, I'm going to give you the top 16 first, and then we'll actually look at the chase grid because it's two different things. Kevin Harvick is your points leader. Brad Keselowski is in second. Kurt Busch third. Carl Edwards fourth. Joey Logano fifth. Kyle Busch in sixth. Denny Hamlin seventh. Merton Truex Jr. sitting in eighth. Jimmy Johnson ninth. Wow. Matt Kenseth tenth. Austin Dillon 11th. Chase Elliott 12th. Jamie McMurray 13th. Ryan Newman 14th. Trevor Bayne in 15th. And Kyle Larson in 16th. Your chase grid does look a little different, though.
Yeah, key because, for that. That's huge.
Because Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch sit on top of the standings. Keselowski would actually be the number one seed because of his four wins. Then you got Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Carl Edwards, Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson, Matt Kenseth, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Martin Truex, Tony Stewart, Chris Buescher. All of those have wins, so they'd be automatic qualifiers. Austin Dillon, Chase Elliott, Jamie McMurray, and Ryan Newman would be your cutoff. So a little bit different. Trevor Bayne and Kyle Larson, who needed a good finish last week, kind of on the outside looking in. And points are, they're so far behind in points now, it's going to pretty much take a win to get in. And that is your Chase Grid, brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to.
It's kind of weird that you think about it. You are getting less and less opportunity to points race your way in.
There's three races left.
And you look at Darlington, where Chase Elliott, you know, surprised everybody a couple of years ago in an Xfinity car and really won that. Ryan Newman, Jamie McMurray, and Austin Dillon, those three guys. If you're Ryan Newman now, you've got to be a little worried that, you know, Chase Elliott could win one. And then, you know, Austin Dillon's been running good. So it's kind of a thing there where you've got to bring your A game every day when you're coming to these tracks now for the next two races.
That
is correct.
That is that cunning knowledge of NASCAR knowledge right there. That was brilliant.
That was prognostication.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Yeah, sorry. So going to Michigan this week, big, huge track, a lot of horsepower, a lot of grooves. Jason, if you're a crew chief, what do you do? I mean, you want to qualify good, I know that.
Yeah, and hope you got enough fuel.
Yeah, it usually does come down to that. So usually a track where the Fords run strong, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano's run well. But, I mean, you've seen Toyotas in the past rip it up there, too.
You've seen Dale Earnhardt Jr. come out and win that race a few times, too. So
I ain't taking the 88 this week.
I'm just but telling I mean, you. But, you know,
he's going back with the other Earnhardt.
Yeah. But the thing of it is that you got to get out there and run hard, and it's going to be the low downforce package like they run in spring. So I think we're going to see some cars kind of sliding around a little bit.
Well, let's talk about who we have that won't be sliding around and go to our power rankings. I'll go ahead and get it started. I've got Kevin Harvick setting up top, Denny Hamlin in second. Then I've got the Brad Keselowski, the Miller Lite Ford number 22. After that with Joey Logano. And then, you know, I really moved Kyle Busch down because I didn't like his attitude. That was my thought process.
Guy with four wins all the way down in fifth in your standings.
Well, listen, I mean,
it's your
power ranking.
It's your power ranking.
Exactly right. All right, my winner, and this will happen this weekend, will be the number 2 Miller Lite Ford of Mr. Brad Keselowski, the Dirty Racer.
The Blue Deuce.
All right, Jason Hildebrand.
Going with Kyle Busch, number 1 power ranking. Brad Keselowski, number 2. Number 3, I'm going with Kevin Harvick. Number 4, Kurt Busch. Number 5, Joey Logano. And then I'm going to put the mouth on Kurt Busch this week to win Michigan.
Hey, he did a great interview after his wreck the other day. I was pretty proud of him. That's one Busch that I think's got it kind of under control.
Jimmy Spencer set him straight.
Yeah, sure. All right, Mr. Tarpley.
I've got Kyle Busch still ranked number 1. He runs strong, led a lot of laps. Kevin Harvick moved up to 2 in my rankings this week. Brad Keselowski dropped down to 3rd. I got Carl Edwards 4th. And Joey Logano 5th. And I'm taking Chase Elliott.
Ooh, I like it. Is. I like it. Gambling man.
Going out on a limb.
Rambling gambling well, man. Bob Seger over here.
He ran 2nd in the spring race. So.
I will say this. There might have been some copyright infringement with my power rankings, as MRN has the exact same power rankings as I do.
Who cheated off who, though?
Might have been where I got that off there, maybe. Anyway, go ahead, Scott Webb.
I kept Kyle Busch on top. I did flip-flop this week, Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick. I've been looking for a reason to move Kevin Harvick up. He's been running strong. He finally gave me a reason to do that. Keselowski in 3rd. Truex, and it was probably – there was about 3 or 4 cars there I could have picked. I did put Truex in there, but that's a team that needs to generate some positive momentum here. They've had fast race cars. They just need to get out of their own way. And I got Joe Logano as the 5th in my standings, and I am going to take Kyle Busch.
I cannot believe.
The Toyota.
You're picking Rowdy. Kyle Busch.
Rowdy Busch.
Oh wow, you know, after
he's gonna mic drop.
That was great. Saturday
and then take a bow Sunday in Michigan.
Welcome to the Kyle Busch Show. Drop. So very good. All right, so crazy. It should be a good crazy weekend. They're racing the Xfinity's racing in Mid Ohio this weekend. So if you like road courses,
that's a good
sure
one too.
Into there, so that'll be a good race. All together on Saturday. Tune in Sunday on 101.3 for the race. And you can hear Alex Hayden, who was on the radio with us earlier, call the race from the pits. All right, Scotty, we got Fast Talk after.
Yep, we do. Doug Rice and Alexis Perkins welcomes Jeff Hammonds as co-host. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is going to be on. That's coming up next here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
We should probably say it may be on afterwards because sometimes we never know.
Hey, listen, I got total faith. Total faith.
That it's going to get done. All right, so you have listened to another edition of The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3.
The Buzz.